Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, I guess I'm live right now. I didn't realize it started that soon. Welcome to the Knowing Christ Ministries Half Hour, or as we like to think of it, the 30 minutes during which we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty. Our upcoming broadcast schedule is still uncertain, but I will announce it as soon as it's been established. We may have several venues alternating weeks, or we may just try for two shows per week. I'm not certain at this time. I know I'm praying for one series during which we'll listen to hymns and discuss what the lyrics are really saying and, of course, how that applies to our daily lives as we strive to walk in His path of righteousness. I'm in the process of trying to secure talent for that. So if y'all are interested in doing any recordings of hymns to join in our broadcast, please private message me at info@knowingchristministries or off of our, it's info@knowingchrist.com or off of our Knowing Christ Ministries Facebook page. I'd be happy to talk to you about that and get your talent on the air. For the other series and what we'll start today, I want to focus on what I've been publishing for the ministry and what I regularly speak on, and that's the nature of relying on Christ in the midst of chronic illness. But before we get into that, I want to remind you to listen to our previous broadcasts available as free podcast downloads from iTunes. Last week's episode was particularly relevant to our daily lives as we discussed the concept of the indwelling nature of Christ and how Christ is with us 24/7. Seeing what you see, hearing what you say and hear, and knowing what you think, feel, and experience. The message from last week's broadcast was to think about what it is you expose yourself to, because you're exposing Christ to it as well. For example, would you knowingly watch pornography if you knew Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty, was sitting next to you? Would you lie if you knew Christ was there witnessing you lie and hearing the words coming from your mouth? Would you engage in relations with someone who's not your spouse if you knew Christ was with you? I'm thinking you wouldn't to any of these. And it was funny. The point was driven home to me a day after our broadcast. Now, personally, I am offended and feel affronted by the use of foul language, especially when used unnecessarily in the media. And it's not unusual for me to make the comment when I'm watching TV or a video. Do you, or does he, kiss your mama with those lips in response, of course, to the profane verbal onslaught? Well, it's not just that kissing your mother with those lips, it's saying them in the presence of Christ. It's offending not just my ears, it's offending Christ's ears and His heart by the words you speak. So anyway, I just thought I'd kind of share that because my husband and I were watching a particular movie. Actually, I was passing through the room while he was watching a movie, one of those guy flicks, and there was excessive use of profanity by the villains, of course, and I just, turned around and said, and does he kiss his mama with those lips? Anyway, that's just a me thing. So, that aside, today I want to share a bit about the calling I feel He's presented me with. And for this past several years, I've written several books on issues relating to chronic illnesses and relationships. I have a secular book out on this titled In Sickness and in Health. And the Christian version of this is called God, Marriage, and Illness. Now, both of these focus on the nature of relationships and how chronic illness affects each of the individuals in the relationship. While the Christian book, of course, focuses on the same things, as I said, it also stresses the need to place God first in the relationship. God needs to be first in the God, Marriage, and Illness triad. Now, the third of our books is called The God Prescription, and it focuses on the toll of chronic illness on the individual and the need to focus on God. Well, my belief is, as in the book on relationships, if you place God first, then you place Christ first and foremost in your life, as in relationships with illness. The impact of that illness when you do that is going to be significantly less. So, I was actually planning on talking about the God prescription today, because that's kind of, you know, what I'm currently working on. But, you know, this weekend is Valentine's Day. So I'm going to shift gears, and we'll talk about the God prescription either next week or in a few weeks. But today I want to talk about God, marriage, and illness. As I said, Valentine's Day is right around the corner. So I want to look at the facts of our society today while we're thinking romance. Well, instead of romance, you need to know the divorce rate for physically healthy couples when no illness is involved is between 40 and 50%. Well, the rate for divorce among those with chronic illness jumps up to 75%. And that says a great deal when the divorce rate for those plagued by chronic illness is in excess of 75%. And that says even more about the lack of conviction people have for each other in marriage. It also says a great deal about the generalized lack of reliance on God once illness presents in a marriage. For many couples that were married when one partner was already diagnosed, you may have totally underestimated the true and progressive toll the illness would take on your marriage or your relationship. My personal belief is that most healthy partners focus on the physical limitations of a chronic illness, failing to take into account the psychological and emotional consequences of the disorder, or the psychological and emotional impact it has on the patient, the impact it has on them as partners, and ultimately the emotional consequences the illness has on their relationship. Again, this perspective rearranges the God, marriage, and illness paradigm into one that's illness, marriage, and God. Many of you are in committed relationships and not yet married, and I'm sorry, but the statistics for divorce with chronic illness are 3 out of 4 relationships are going to end in divorce, or marriages are going to end in divorce. There are no statistics available for how many non-married couples or those who are engaged weather the storm of chronic illness or who fail and break apart, again, evidencing the lack of godly involvement and direction. And unfortunately, all too often, people feel threatened by the impact of their illness, and as a result of how they're feeling physically and emotionally, the focus of their lives suddenly becomes upon them. They take their eyes off of God and place it upon themselves, taking their eyes from having been turned upwards and outwards, and it turns downward and inwards. Now, I'm not going to get too deeply into my personal health history here, but in all honesty, absolute honesty, suffice to say, if you look up chronic illness in the dictionary, you'll see my picture. I've not one, but as is in the case with many due to the nature of the physiology involved, I've got a laundry list of life-changing diseases. Now, as those of us with chronic illnesses know, despite the names of disorders or disease categories being the same, the symptoms associated with our healthcare issues are most likely to all present differently from patient to patient. There's going to be some similarities, but there's going to be some unique facts. And with age and the passage of the years, because of the issues I dealt with and still deal with, our lifestyle changed from our dating days between my husband and myself. And our lifestyle limitations for my husband and myself continue to compromise our relationship as well. Now, these changes could have easily destroyed our very relationship. But they haven't. What happened? Well, let's think back to the days before you got married. If you're like most of us, you had stars in your eyes, you had dreams of a life of marital bliss in the company of someone you loved more than life itself. You may have been younger and either known little about the process of aging and the potential for illness to upend your perfect life, or you just disregarded the potential challenge because you were so in love. You dreamt of your forever full of days and nights, falling asleep in the arms of your new spouse, waking up to them first thing in the morning and thinking about them throughout the day with the same stars in your eyes that you had the day you married. You may not even notice the vows you spoke included the words for better or worse in sickness and in health. Now, it's also important for you to know that while some chronic illnesses befell me before I came to Christ, the rest have progressively sought to victimize me throughout subsequent years as Satan continues to seek an avenue to challenge my relationship with the Lord, which, at least for me and my beloved husband, has not and will not happen. For you see, my personal saving grace is in His grace. The joy I find to offset the seriousness of my life is in the profound joy in my relationship with the Lord and in my relationship with my husband. I'm not suggesting it's easy to maintain this position, but it is critical to both your own well-being and that of your relationship. It's just as easy for me to take my eyes off of Him and draw them downward and inward into myself as I know it is for you. This is a universal truth. And of course, the issue is the same one for your spouse and your partner that they're probably struggling with as well. The devil likes nothing better than to direct your focus off of God and onto yourself. And when chronic illness is part of the paradigm you struggle with, Satan just delights in the opportunity to exploit your vulnerability. So you see, keeping my eyes upward and outward rather than downward and inward has not been easy. I'm the first to admit it. But it has been essential to maintaining my perspective of God first in the God marriage and illness process or paradigm. Let me repeat that. Keeping my eyes upward and outward rather than downward and inward is not easy. It has not been easy, but it has been essential if you want to maintain your perspective of God first in the God marriage and illness paradigm. Perhaps when you were actually questioned about it by a premarital counselor or pastor, you thought to yourself, well, if he gets a cold, I'll make him soup and I'll freshly squeeze orange juice just for him because I love him so much. Or you think all you have to do is go to the grocery store to make certain there's always ginger ale and saltines in the house when your beloved has the stomach flu. After all, what's the stomach flu or a head cold between two people who love each other so much? Well, how many newlyweds actually continue to passionately kiss each other when the other one's contagious, believing they're cavalierly demonstrating their love for the other person? How romantic is it to demonstrate your self-sacrificing love, being willing to take it upon yourselves the very cold or flu the other person has? A little flu or cold can't come between the two of you, right? Well, it may seem like I'm making fun of y'all, but that is what you think the day you get married. So you go ahead and make that vow. I vow to love you, remaining faithful only unto you for better or worse in sickness and in health. And then one or both of you get sick. And it's not a cold or the flu. And life as you know it will never be the same again. In fact, this was a perfect example actually displayed by a couple that came to Knowing Christ Ministries seeking our premarital counseling and officiating services for their wedding ceremony. Well, we brought up the concept and I actually asked the question about accepting the other person and cherishing them just as much then as they do today before they get married if illness befell them. And the male stated he knew what it was all about since his fiance just had a bout of mononucleosis shortly after they met, and then the stomach flu for 3 days. But, of course, seen through the eyes of love, this illustrates a perfect point. These are very temporary situations. What we're talking today about is totally different. But when you've got stars in your eyes and just before you get married, you think short term. For illness, even if it may have been the flu. So you see, although you have stars in your eyes when you marry or fall in love, one of the key issues most couples fail to think about before their wedding ceremony is that promises that they're making to each other during the ceremony. That one very accurate promise or very specific promise, rather, to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and in health is a promise made before God. And essentially, it's a promise to God that you will be faithful to the promises you're making to each other as you proclaim them in His name to all assembled. Well, sadly, while we pray, nothing will ever, ever, ever interfere with the youthful excitement that we feel the day we marry. Even in second, third, or subsequent marriages, we still never look at all the challenges we do when one day suddenly something does happen. You, your spouse, or both of you become chronically ill, and it's more than a head cold, it's more than the flu. In short, chronic illnesses can have a serious moderating effect in a loving relationship. It may have been expected. It may not have been expected. It may have come as a consequence of aging, or it may simply have occurred as a consequence of living in a society where individuals are living longer and more chronic illnesses are being diagnosed. Whatever the reason, you and your spouse or partner are no longer in a marriage or serious relationship limited to just the three of you, children aside. And now there's four. There's God, there's you, there's your spouse or partner, and chronic illness. So let me ask you some serious questions. I'm just going to shoot these off. What did the vow you made or that you plan to make, promising to love your spouse in sickness and in health, mean to you the day you got married? Or believe those words meant when you promised your future or when promised for your future marriage ceremony? What do you believe those words actually mean that you're going to be saying? What role did God play in those vows? What role does God play in your wanting to keep or break those vows? And how do you interpret the same vow now that one of you is both of you is or are chronically ill? What role does God play in your wanting to keep or break those vows? Would you change your vows? If so, what wording do you think you should have or that you should have had instead of the simple words in sickness and in health? And why do you believe you need different vows? And finally, I want you to ask yourself, what role does God play in your desire to change your vows? Or do you still feel appropriate making those same vows before God today? Or that you will if you're getting married in the future? In our seminars and in our book, we explore those questions a lot more seriously. But I'm just asking you to think about those things. But let's get back right now to what makes the difference in a relationship. What happened to make the relationship I have with my husband different than the majority that ends up in divorce? Why are we not divorced? What are others who are victimized by chronic illness doing that's keeping them together? What made the difference? Well, we realized our approach and perspective were originally completely skewed. While in our general life and marriage, we believed it was important to always keep God as the most important factor in our lives, somehow when it came to chronic illness in the beginning, we changed our focus inward. We learned, though, that as Christians that believe wholeheartedly in Him as our deliverer, that the key was to prioritize our lives and our relationship, whereby God comes first and foremost, and then our marriage, and only then the illness or illnesses. Too many people have it just the reverse, and that's where the problem is. God is last, and the illness comes even before their marriage. It's generally a me proposition. Well, what happens? How does that work out for people? Not too well. 3 out of 4 of them are divorced. And I know it didn't work well for us until we changed our perspective. Unfortunately, as I said, 3 of 4 are going to end up in divorce, and it's obviously not working out too well for the hundreds of people that I counsel through our ministry and those that I come in contact with daily until they learn to change their perspective. Now, trust me, I cannot put myself in your place. I don't profess to be able to, and I know many of you are thinking to themselves, I don't know what y'all are really going through in your day-to-day battle with your illnesses, and I don't know, I can't put myself in your place, in your relationship. Every relationship is unique to the two of you and the human factor. However, I beg to differ. There's a lot that I do know, probably more than you think. I understand, and it's because of my understanding that I believe Christ placed me in this position to lead others and to teach and preach on this and teach on this subject and to speak on this subject about God, marriage, and illness. So, you know, as I said, I understand. Much like when you got your diagnosis, even though you're in a committed relationship, you still feel very much alone. Let me repeat that. I know that even though you're in a relationship, you are alone with your diagnosis. You feel frightened, and you think no one else is going through what you are. Relationship issues due to chronic illnesses leave you in the same situation. You still feel alone. You still feel frightened. And now you think no one else is going through what you are, except it seems to hurt worse because the person you'd like to think you can count on most in this world, your husband, your wife, or fiance, doesn't seem to get it. They don't act like they understand. They can't put themselves in your place as much as you wish they would or could, figuratively, of course, not literally. But they may think you're slacking because you can't keep up with everything like you used to or would like to. Things get left undone. But it's not your fault. It's just hard in a relationship for the other person to truly understand that you're just not that same person anymore. From a physical perspective, and sadly the emotional one that follows as well, because you're not happy with yourself for not being able to put up or to do the things you used to do. In future shows, I'm going to get into some of the areas we deal with in our seminars related to what can I do then, and how can I make a change? How can I focus on God first? However, I'm going to suggest you order our book for a more comprehensive study on how to approach your spouse or fiancé, and how together you can approach the God, marriage, and illness triad by offering the method to restore your relationship with God and your spouse despite the presence of chronic illness in your life. That book is actually for both partners. There's elements in there for both partners and questions and answers and discussion areas for both of you, the healthy person, the partner with the illness, and if both partners have illness, there's quite a bit for them as well, and again, how to focus on your marriage. But I want you to remember, as alone as you may feel at any given time due to the presence of illness in your relationship, you're not alone. And I'm not talking about having someone else from an online forum to share your misery with who can relate. I'm talking about God. No matter what the situation, He has never left your side. Much like a loving father, He has never abandoned you, no matter how abandoned you may feel. And I'd venture a guess that the abandonment was felt when you took your eyes off of Him and turned them inward and downward onto yourself because you were hurting. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die for our sins. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for welcoming our focus on You during times of trials to be the safe refuge for us. Lord, 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 we thank You for being the great physician, for being the one to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Father, we know You created the institution of marriage so that we might have a mate and life partner, so that we need not go through life alone. You know our hearts. You know our sorrows. You know the pain in our hearts when illness strikes and we feel alone despite being in a committed relationship. Father, we ask that You help restore our relationship to be as it once when we had stars in our eyes, We ask for your help and guidance when we naturally turn our eyes downward and inward upon ourselves rather than remaining on you. Lord, please help us fix our eyes upward and outward on you at all times. Father, help us fix our eyes upward and outward on you first, and then focus on our marriage first, the needs of our partner, and the needs of the relationship. And then help us focus lastly on the inconveniences and changes in our life due to the illness as you help us cope. And it's in your ever, ever blessed name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to thank you for listening to us today. This is a particularly important topic in our world today. And if you'd like more information on speaking engagements or have us visit your church or church organization or secular organization, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. Our book, God, Marriage, and Illness, is available on Amazon throughout the world or off of our Facebook page. I urge you to follow us both on our new platform, where we'll be broadcasting live on Spreaker, or listen to us on a pre-recorded upload on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, you can always listen to our broadcasts free as podcast downloads off of iTunes. Now, I'm particularly excited about the development of our ministry app. We will be releasing the Knowing Christ Ministries app for the iOS market in the next few weeks, to be followed by the same app for Android the following month. The app will allow you to listen to our live broadcasts and also listen to our broadcast library directly from within the app without needing to interface with iTunes. And it will also allow you to interact with us live while we're on the air through a chat facility. For updates and invitations for new shows, please visit our Facebook page and like us to stay in the know. Both our publications, including the books we're talking about on these broadcasts, God, Marriage, and Illness, and The God Prescription, can be ordered directly off of our Facebook page, and donations to our ministry can also be made off of that page as well. So I ask you to remember, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And this is Dr. Danielle West for Knowing Christ Ministries saying, may God continue to bless you richly. Have a blessed week.